So you ready for the story?
Yes.
Hey, we actually got books in. So today, if you didn't get one last week, you can actually purchase one today. So we're excited about that. So why don't you join me as we pray? I'm going to give you another part two of an introduction, and then next week we start the story. So let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. I thank you that we are going to look at your story. We're going to look at how you are involved in our lives, and that most of all, we're going to look at what your plan is. So guide and direct us as we go down this path to understand your story, and help us to learn how to apply our story to your story. And we give you the praise for it. In your very precious name, amen. Well, today what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a brief overview of the story. So you'll have a little understanding of where we're going to go. Last week, Ken challenged us to make commitments. We wanted you to get committed in a community group, in a class, get your students involved in the story so that we're all talking about the same thing. So that's what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to give you just a brief overview. I'm giving you a big outline this morning, so we'll only be here till maybe 3 o'clock. So don't even worry about that. Let me give you a quick introduction. In a nationwide survey of Americans, the Barna Group came up with some unique stats. 58% of people do not know who preached the Sermon on the Mount. If you didn't know who that is, that's Jesus. 52% of the people did not know the book of Jonah is in the Bible. Guess what? 50% of that same group thought the book of Thomas was in the Bible. Yeah, if you didn't know that, that's not in the Bible. Okay. 7 out of 10 people, or 70%, did not know the expression, God helps those who help themselves, is not contained in Scripture. How many believed it was? Over the next 31 weeks, we are going to challenge you on understanding the Bible more than you've probably been stretched before. Our goal is to just dig deep into the Word of God. So I'm excited. I think it's going to be a great time over the next 31 weeks. You'll become a student of the Word. And I like what David Platt said. He said, biblical literacy is a precursor to biblical transformation. We're living in what we call a biblically illiterate time. That's why people, more than half the population, don't even know who preached the Sermon on the Mount. So let me ask you just a few questions. Do you believe the Bible can transform your life? Good. The rest of you, it's either early morning or you just got back from dove hunting. Do you know that was a national holiday that just started yesterday? And I got here at 6 this morning and I still heard the guns going off. I thought, great. Oh, now that's if you like dove hunting, so I do. Do you understand that God used men and women to accomplish his purposes?
Yes.
Do you believe God has a plan for your life?
Yes.
And do you understand God's plan? That's a good answer. I like that. Our goal is that you will have a picture of God's plan as we go through this. So we're excited. You see, God has told us his story to help us make sense of our own lives. We need God's story to give us life, meaning, and purpose. But more importantly, we need to know God's bigger story throughout history. God answers the major questions of life. Where did all this come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? Did you notice they landed this little module on Mars? How many people saw that on the news? It was about, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? I was watching the news late at night, and it was interesting. A guy from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory came on, and the interviewer asked this guy, said, what do you think of this great accomplishment? And he goes, this is an amazing accomplishment because it could give us the answers to life, where we came from. And I kept going, no, it can't. I wanted to yank my TV out and throw it because I'm thinking, no, that will not give you those answers. It might come up with some answers, and it'll be intriguing, the answers they come up with. But I thought, you went from science to theology real quick, or philosophy. God answers those questions for us, and he does it in this book. And so we need to take a look at that. Because you need to know why you're here. You need to know, does God have a plan for your life? And where are you going? And God laid it all out for us clearly in Scripture. You're going to learn much about God's story through this series and his plan, and that plan will help you understand your story, your life, and your purpose. So you ready for this 31-week adventure? It starts next week. So how does this big story fit together? If you've got your outline, I'm giving you a big outline, so that's why I'm indicating we're going to be here till probably the church vote. I don't know. So how does this all fit together? I'm going to give you a quick goal. We want you to know more about the Word of God than you presently know now. We want you to know more about the Word of God than you presently know now. I don't care where you are in the process of maturing. You can always learn more about the Word of God. As believers, you should never stop learning. You should always be growing and maturing. There's two themes that we're going to encounter during this series. One theme is what we call the upper story, and the other theme is the lower story. And we've actually put it on this sign if you could see it. One is God's story, and another way of looking at it is your story. And we're going to look at those two themes, and this morning I'm going to try and define those for you so you can walk away. So when we're going through this series, you can go, wow, he's talking about God's story, the upper story. And then we'll also talk about our story and how those two should intertwine. So let me give you some definition around those two. First of all, the upper story, we will discover God's plan. We will discover God's plan. God created the world and mankind to have a relationship with him. We will explore this one overriding theme that is throughout the Bible, and it's the theme of redemption. We're going to look at this theme throughout Scripture. Everything in the Bible talks about restoring us, mankind, to God. It's called a reconciliation process. And God says, I want to restore what I had with humans in the garden. And he's passionate about that. This one consistent theme is throughout Scripture, and you cannot miss it. If you miss it, you're probably not in the Word enough. So let me give you three parts to this upper story, or God's story. Number one, God relentless pursuit of restoring our relationship with him. And I use the word relentless because of this. He does not quit on us. Aren't you grateful for that? Amen. Man, when you sin and you stumble and you make mistakes and you do dumb things, God still says, I'm going to pursue you. I was thinking of examples this morning, and I thought of Moses. Moses takes the people out of Egypt. And he's going to the promised land, and God says, I want you to go take the land. And what's Moses do? No, God, I'm going to send 12 spies into the land. God didn't say send 12 spies. He said go take the land. Moses messed up, and that mess up caused them to wander for 40 years in the wilderness, because there's always consequences to our actions. But here's what I love about that story. God did not quit on that nation. He kept going after him. And I think all the way into the New Testament, you look at Peter, wow, a guy that messes up, much like most of us in this room, and God says, I'm not giving up on you. God relentlessly pursues us passionately. And you know why? He made you. And he says, I want to have a relationship with you from now till eternity. And he's passionate about it. And I'm so grateful he is so forgiving. So that's number one. Number two, you've got to get this down. If you don't get this, you're going to miss the upper story. God's story is all about Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, the story of the Bible is about Jesus Christ. I will tell you, though, what we encounter today, and we often encounter this. We read the Bible and we want to know, what's in it for me? And God's saying, you know what? It's not about you. I'm sorry. It's about my son. Now, you have a part in that, but don't make it so big. Jesus paid the ultimate price so that we can be reconciled to him. This Bible is about Jesus, so get that down. I don't want you to miss that. The story is about Jesus. I'll give you a few more insights on that later as we go in, but let me give you number three. Number three is, get this down too, God's master plan is unchanging. You cannot change God's plan. We can try and mess it up, but you know what? In the final end, he wins. Everything he's going to do will take place. It might not take place in our timetable. If you go back to Moses, I'm sure Moses did not want to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. That was probably not his plan, but that was part of the consequence of his sin. But God still fulfilled his purpose. God's plan will not change. He's going to come back, and he's going to say, I hope you're ready. Because if you're not, I'm still coming back. So get those three down. He's in a relentless pursuit of restoring a relationship with him. God's story is all about Jesus Christ. And number three, God's master plan is unchanging. Now let's talk a little bit about the lower story. So the upper story is going to be about, we will discover God's plan. The lower story is this, and we are going to touch on it throughout this whole series, both parts. The lower story is about aligning ourselves with God's plan. Aligning ourselves with God's plan. And it's dealing with our normal day-to-day life. Life gets crazy, right? Okay, I'm the only one that thinks life gets crazy. I mean, my life right now is crazy. I'm in jury duty. I can't say much more about it, or some judge will shoot me. But it's crazy. And I'm the one supposed to be in control of all this road going on back here. So I get called in the morning. I get called in the afternoon. I get called in between. And it's just like you're going 50 different directions. Our lower story, our life story, gets crazy at times. But in reality, God wants to use you even in that craziness. God's giving me opportunities to talk to people I've never talked to before. God uses those situations for his purposes. So let me give you three things about this lower story. Number one, God is intimately involved with the details of your life. If you can get that in your head, boy, it brings a lot of sense to life. There's a lot of things that happen in our life and we just don't understand. And then about 5 years later, you go, oh, that makes sense. God took me through that for a purpose and a reason. God is intimately involved in every detail of our lives. Number two, we need to align ourselves with God's plan. We need to align ourselves with God's plan. Do you remember Joseph, one of the patriarchs? Actually, he's up there on that list. We'll look at it in a minute. Joseph was aligned with God. He got thrown into prison. He was accused wrongly. He did the right thing. He's in prison, and he's going, okay, what's next, God? Because he was aligned with God's plan. And if you know anything about Joseph, Joseph ended up saving the nation of Israel because God used him to be the second highest authority in the Egyptian world. God had a bigger plan. But at the moment being in prison, he probably didn't like it. But he said, I'm going to still trust you, God. We need to align our lives with what God is doing. Number three, the Bible connects life events with God's upper story. This book helps us understand God's upper story and helps us understand that we are part of that story. And it's the conduit. It brings those two together. So if you're not in the Word of God, life can be confusing and crazy, and you oftentimes won't have hope. But when you understand God's story, you'll start making sense of your own story, that God put you here for a purpose, and he's got a plan for your life. And guess what? He's going to use you greatly. Okay. That's the upper and lower story. We are going to try and attack that throughout this 31 weeks. But let me just give you a few basic facts. There's 66 books in our Bible, right? A couple weeks ago I told you there's 39 Old Testament books and 27. Just remember one of the numbers. 39, 3 times 9 is what? 27. That's how many New Testament books. Just add 2 and 7 together, it gives you 9. Just got to figure out what the number is before, and you'll know the Old Testament. Okay? But you need to get that down. We've got 66 books in our Bible. And what is amazing about those 66 books is the unity. It's extraordinary how the unity of the Bible is put together. There's one complete message through all 66 books. And we're going to take a look at that this morning because I'm going to talk about those themes right there. It's on both sides. We'll talk about those. But I want to give you two other key words. God says to us in his word, he's going to reveal himself in two ways. One is general revelation. General revelation. General revelation is this. We are able to see God's handiwork in creation. When you go outside and you see the stars at night and you see all the intricate parts of our creation and you have to say to yourself, this is not an accident. And Psalms 19:1 says this, the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. I am amazed when I see the creation. And I look at it and go, wow, God, you did amazing things. God says in his word, you can know who he is through general revelation. In Romans 1:20 says this, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made so that men are without excuse. So general revelation. God says, I've given you general revelation so you can know that I exist. Then he says, I want to give you one other thing, special revelation. That is the word of God. And God says, I've written this for you so that you can know me. And Jesus is the author of this book. And Jesus says, I've come to restore that relationship that's been broken. Learn about my story. So we're going to show you the big picture from Genesis to Revelation. There's three other key words, inspired, inerrant, authoritative word of God, which I touched on a couple weeks ago. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God. All of it is God's word. Everything you hold in here is God's word. And then also it goes on in 2 Peter 1:20 and 21, knowing first of all that no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For prophecy was never was ever produced by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We are holding special revelation, the Word of God, in our hands. And that's what we're going to dig into over the next 31 weeks. So let me give you just a couple more things about this. It's written over a 1,500-year period. It started around 1400 BC and goes all the way to around 90 AD. There's 40 authors in the Bible. It's written, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew and parts are written in Aramaic. And the New Testament is written in Greek, and it's also a certain type of Greek, Koine Greek, or common man's language. It was written for us. And again, the Bible speaks of extraordinary unity, even over that 1,500-year period of time. And as I was preparing, I was referring back to a guy by the name of Mitch Mayer, who wrote a book called Clarifying the Bible. And he came up with five distinct pictures, or what we call five distinct Christ-centered words. And so I want to give you those this morning. You have them in your notes. The first one is called anticipation. Anticipation. And that is from Genesis to Malachi. And from Genesis to Malachi, those first 39 books of the Bible is saying this, someone is coming. He is coming. Get ready. He is coming. You cannot miss that when you're reading through the Old Testament. All the sacrifices pointed to one that's going to come and redeem this earth. That's anticipation. The second word is manifestation. Manifestation. That is the Gospels. The one that is coming is here. He is here. He has come. He's come to pay for our sins. He is here. And guess who that he is? Starts with a J. It's an easy one. You can never miss this in a Bible class. Jesus Christ is here. And we've got four books that talk about him arriving. Then that leads us to the third category, and that's proclamation. Proclamation. In the book of Acts, the book of Acts is an amazing book. It talks about the gospel being proclaimed not only to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, but to the uttermost parts of the world. And guess what? We're in that group. Proclamation is telling us all about the life of Jesus Christ. Then we get into explanation. The book of Romans all the way to Jude. This is where we learn about Christ and how he wants us to live. This is why we're all very attracted to the epistles or to the letters, because they say, don't do this. Wake up. Live like this. This is what it's like to be a believer in Christ. Then we get to the last word. That's consummation. Consummation. That means it's finished, and that's the book of Revelation. And in consummation, I love this text, Revelation chapter 11, 15. He says, the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. And he shall what? Reign forever and ever. And it can keep on going. Consummation. So I think those, if you could get those five down, it gives you some, makes great sense about Christ. Scriptures about Christ. Now let me give you a little trick. If you don't know this, some of you learned this in one of the classes I was teaching. But I want to break down the Bible for you real quickly. The Bible is set up in the Old Testament. Let's start there. There's 39 books in the Old Testament. The first 17, from Genesis to Esther, is all of the history of the Old Testament. Oftentimes when you get people reading the Bible, they get to Zephaniah or Zechariah or the book of Job, and they're going, where's that fit? They all fit within the first 17 books of your Bible. All of Old Testament history is from Genesis to Esther, okay? For example, everybody here knows King David, okay? David wrote a lot of the Psalms. That's going to be under 1 Kings and 2 Kings. That's where it will fit. Okay, does that bring some clarity? So the first 17 books of the Bible contain the history of the Old Testament. Is that good? Anybody can nod your head? You hanging in there? Okay. Then we have five poetical books. Okay, poetry. You know them, Job, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, Proverbs, and Psalms. Then you have 17 prophetical books. Those 17 prophetical books all fit within those first 17 books. Okay? Does that give you a little help? That should help you understand a little bit more how the Bible's put together. Let me make it a little more difficult, okay? The first five books are called the Law, or the Pentateuch, or the Torah. They're written by Moses. So it could be set up this way. 5, 12, 5, 5, 12. I like 17, 5, 17. But for you that are engineering minded, you might like the 5, 12, 5, 5, 12. That is five books of the law written by Moses, 12 historical books, five books on poetry or poetical books, five major prophets, and 12 minor prophets. Have any of you heard that? Because that's how the Old Testament is broken down. But what I want you to get is just the first 17 books, they deal with the whole history of the Old Testament. Okay? You got that? Now, the New Testament is set up very similar, but it's even simpler. The first, in the New Testament, we have four Gospels. It's all about the life of Christ. And then you have the book of Acts. That's the whole history of the New Testament, except for the book of Revelation. Revelation is much later. It's around 95 to 100, and that's the end of the New Testament. So, flip over your sheet, and if you don't have one, you can look either up here or down there. Now, I put this together because I've studied Old Testament and New Testament. I always thought, man, the storyline is not so difficult, but oftentimes we make it difficult. Oftentimes scholars make it difficult. They give you huge books and you're like, I'm confused. Who are these people? When do these prophets take place? So I want to go through it real quick with you, but my goal is so that you can have this with you when you're going through the story for the next 31 weeks, okay? So let me go really quickly. Creation, I always use an insight. This helps my kids. I always say to my kids, if I say creation, they say 6 days, on the seventh day God rested. Okay? Then I go man, and I talk about Adam. I separate Adam and before the fall, because God had a relationship with Adam and Eve, and it was right before the fall. And oftentimes I don't think we study that, because that gives us a glimpse of heaven. Okay? So you should study that. So I have man and I have Adam. Then I have fall and I have Adam and Eve. Okay, and that should be self-explanatory. Then we get to murder. Cain murders Abel. Then we get to flood. Great person to remember there is Noah. Then we get to Tower of Babel. We get new languages, and God says, I'm scattering you. Now, those first six that you see up here, creation, man, fall, murder, flood. I'm doing this to mess up the cameraman. Creation, man, fall, murder, flood, Tower of Babel. Those right there, that accounts for about 1,260 years of history. And that's Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 11. So we have a lot of history in just Genesis chapter 1 through chapter 11. Then you get into the patriarchs. That's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. That's the rest of Genesis. From chapter 12 to chapter 50 is about four people. Okay? Which tells me a lot about Scripture. God's not so concerned with giving us a history lesson. God's more concerned about his relationship with us. And he's more concerned with telling us, I have a relationship with humankind. And I want to talk about these four individuals because I'm going to set the stage for history based on these four individuals. So you get into Abraham. Great way to remember him is covenant. Covenant. Because God makes a covenant with him. And guess what? He fails. Eventually, God makes another covenant, and he doesn't make it with Abraham. He makes it with himself. And that covenant is this: I will bless your seed and make you a great nation. Guess what happens? He says, I'm going to make you a great nation. Sarah, his wife, and Abraham said, well, we're really old. We're not having kids. Here, take my handmaiden, Hagar, you can have a kid with her. Abraham goes, oh, okay. He has a kid. Guess what? God doesn't change his promise. What nation was created through Ishmael that we have a problem with to this day? Islam. Islam goes all the way back to Abraham. Man messed up. And guess what? God says, I will make your seed a great nation. Ishmael is the father of Islam. So it's interesting. When you talk to a Muslim or somebody of that faith, you can say, hey, we can go back to Abraham. Let's talk about him. They'll go, yeah, I'd love to talk to you about Abraham. Okay? That's where their roots are. So Abraham's crucial to this whole thing. He has a son named Isaac. Great way to remember him is the word sacrifice. Sacrifice. Another glimpse of what we call a Christocentric message coming through. Then you've got Isaac. Then you go to Jacob. His name's changed to Israel. Israel has 12 sons. And one of his sons is named Joseph. And God saves the nation of Israel through Joseph. Then you get, now that gets you all the way to number 11. That's just the book of Genesis, okay? And that's around 2,240 years, give or take a couple hundred years. Then you get to Moses. We all know Moses, the Ten Commandments. That's Exodus through Deuteronomy. You learn a ton about Moses. Then you get to Joshua, who actually enters the land. We like to use conquest for Joshua. And that's the book of Joshua. Then you get to Judges, and we get, I use the term moral decay. That's Judges through the book of Ruth. Now, it's interesting. There's a cycle in that book that you don't ever want to miss. I mean, through all those books of Judges. The Judges came on the scene. The people would sin. God would say, I'm going to get after you. They would repent. God would restore them. And then they would sin. And I thought, whoa, that's just like us. You can learn a lot about sin and restoration from the Old Testament. Then you get to kingdoms. This is 1 Samuel all the way to 2 Chronicles. And this is where you learn about Saul, David, and Solomon. And I just put next to that, they all reigned for 40 years. Then you get to divided kingdom. Then you get to northern kingdom. And then southern kingdom. And by this time, everybody in Israel is captured under some form of leader, the Babylonians, then the Assyrians, and then the Persians. Then they're in exile, and this is where you read the books of Ezekiel through Daniel. And a lot of the other minor prophets are all written at this time. We won't go into great detail on that now, because we would be here till next week. But they're exiled for 70 years, and Jeremiah prophesies that exile. Then they return, and that's the rebuilding, and we get the book of Ezra through Esther. This is where we learn about Nehemiah rebuilding the walls. And they are restored to their homeland. Then you get to number 18, and I changed the word to preparation. A lot of scholars use the word silence. There was 400 years of silence. I tend to struggle with that because I don't know any time in history God has been silent. Because remember when I was telling you there was 1,260 years just in the first 6 points from creation, man, fall, murder, flood? Just in Genesis chapter 6, that's over a 1,000-year period. There's a lot of details. We don't know what's going on. God is never silent. And here's what I want to say about this preparation. This is when the Roman world came into power. The Roman world came into power. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came into power. And it's all preparing for Christ to come. Because the Romans did something that had not been done before. They made a road system. Remember, all roads lead to Rome? They put this elaborate system in place, elaborate system of communication. And guess what? I don't think that was an accident that our Lord and Savior showed up at that time in history. God was preparing for him to come. Then that leads me to the next one, the Gospels. The Gospels are about Christ. He is here. He has come. And he came to save. And he came to rebuild. That's the Gospels. And that's around 80, 40 through 60 that the Gospels are written. And then we get proclamation, and we've referred to that already. That's the book of Acts. That's the spreading of the gospel throughout the world. And that's around 80, 60 when that book was written. And then we get to explanation. That's all the epistles, all the letters. It explains who Jesus is. And that's 80, 60. Then you get to consummation, and that's the Lord returns. That's the book of Revelation. So you see, Scripture's pretty clear. So keep this down. It's not that difficult. We can get into great details, but what we're going to do over the next 31 weeks is we're going to challenge you to go down this path with us to learn as much as you can about God's story and how our story needs to become aligned with it. So, I want to challenge you this morning to get on this adventure. I want you to go sign up for a community group. If you're not in one, sign up for one. If you want to dig deeper, and I would challenge all community group leaders to take a class, because all the classes, what we're going to do is we're going to dig deeper into the story. We're going to get into the meat. You're going to get a ton of meat anyways. We're just going to go deeper. And we're actually going to use a couple different books. This is the one we want everybody to get. This is the Bible, and it's written in that chronological order. Remember, I've given you this order here? It's written that way, so you understand the story more in depth. We'll have these books available out there. In the classes, though, we are going to be using Exploring the Bible. This is a guy that went to Southern Seminary, and what he did is he just did a great job matching the story and just giving us details. Like, we'll look at details of why did God have to cover them with animal skin? Why weren't fig leaves good enough? We'll examine that question. So that should get you to a class. I won't tell you the answer to that one. Or what about Abraham? Why did he take Isaac and prepare him and got ready to slay him on an altar? And why does Islam believe that was Ishmael, not Isaac? We are going to dig into those questions. This is one of the books that you will get. Now, you can't buy this unless you come to a class. Sorry, I didn't order very many. But it is a great book, so if you want to get it online. But we'll have those out there for you. So what we want you to do is sign up today. And now here's the homework assignment for next week. Brent reminded me, because Brent's preaching next week. He goes, keep telling him. We want you to read chapter 1 of this book. Read chapter 1. It's 12 pages long. Won't take you very long. It is a great book. I've gotten to enjoy it a little bit during jury duty. Sitting in the hallway. I'm not frustrated with it, really. So anyways, so my challenge is for you this morning is get on board. This is going to be an amazing time as we go through this story. So why don't you join me as we pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word, for your story and your plan. Help us to understand your plan in detail. And Lord, help us to align our lives with your plan. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and glory for it. In your precious name. Amen.